to Healing for Your Heart. Healing for Your Heart is a daily radio program brought to you by Amelia Kenya. God wants to dwell with you, to love, to guide, to protect, and to provide for your daily needs. God's design is for you to enjoy His presence. Healing for Your Heart is possible today. Here is your author and speaker, Amelia Kenya.
We are continuing this lesson on God's presence, the missing something. In particular, today we are looking at the glory is departed. A word that has been used to describe that is Ichabod, the departed glory. When God brought the children of Israel from their land of bondage, the entire world knew that God had done a miraculous act. In fact, the world trembled at who God was. And the world did not stop at that. They envied Israel. Everybody who knew who the children of Israel were trembled, knowing that God, in His own grace, in His own power, had come around His people. And so people feared God's children. In fact, who on earth in his own right mind would dare attack people like those? But you step back and ask yourself, so what made the difference? These are people who had been in bondage for over 400 years. They had been slaves. They had been subjected to very hard labor. They built the cities in Egypt. They were a nobody. Nobody really cared about them. They were scarred, they were beaten, and they were subjected to just very difficult life conditions. What made the difference? What changed? How could they come from that slavery, from that bondage, into a people who are feared by the entire world? The prominence and the elevation that took place amongst the children of Israel was wrapped up in one major concept. It was one thing that made a big difference, and that is the presence of God. God, who had delivered His people from bondage and saved them from that slavery, had come amidst His own children. He hovered around them. In fact, He put a cloudy pillar and a pillar of fire round about them. So He hemmed them in. He tucked them in. And there was no way Israel was going to ravel when they were hemmed in by the presence of God. Unfortunately, things did not stay this way for a long time. The glory departed, and that is why we are looking at our topic this morning, or this day, the glory is departed. Why didn't Israel enjoy this ultimate relationship with God for a long time? The answer lies in the fact that Israel quickly forgot that the presence of God was only dependent on their willingness and their ability to follow God and to obey Him fully. Israel became very discontent. In fact, they began to desire what was in the enemy's camps. And you know, God, who cannot live amongst a stiff-necked people and a disobedient people, had to withdraw His presence. He removed the cloud. He removed the pillar of fire that surrounded the camps of Israel. And then He let the children of Israel actually manage their own lives. He gave them to their fleshly desires. And with time, the morals and the values disintegrated so fast and so badly that Israel, which had become the envy of the world, was finally a scorn, what the Bible calls a byword. Those who had feared Israel began to also discover, oh, without God's presence right there in the camp, we can subject these people back to to hard labor. We can subject them back to the troubles from which they came. Israel forgot one thing. It is God who makes a big difference. It is God who had freed them from bondage and had brought them to a place where they could experience his freedom, where they could experience his presence, and where they would actually become fruitful. Walking away from God was just like detaching yourself from a tree and hoping that you would still flourish. In their own selves, they had nothing. They had no power. And that is why they had been in slavery for those many years. It was God who subdued their enemy. It was God who fought their battles. It was God who put his cover round about them and made them a people. A sad account is recorded in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 4 that tells us how the glory of God departed from Israel. For the sake of getting the context and God helping us, even in our own situations today, I would like us to read that passage together. It is a fairly long passage, but I pray that the Holy Spirit will minister to you as you listen and comprehend what it means for God to put his arms round about you, to put his arms round about his people, and what it can also mean for God to withdraw himself from amidst his people. Let us look at 1 Samuel chapter 4, beginning from verse 1. The Bible says, "And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched beside Ebenezer, and the Philistines pitched in Aphek. And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines, and they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. And when the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, 'Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us to this day before the Philistines? Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies.' So the people went to Shiloh, and that they might bring from thence the ark of the covenant of the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubims, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the ark of the covenant of God." Verse 5, And when the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang again. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, "What meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews?" And they understood that the ark of the Lord was come into the camp. And the Philistines were afraid, and they said, "God is come into the camp." And they said, "Woe, woe unto us, for there hath not been such a thing therefore heretofore. Woe unto us! Who shall deliver us of the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Be strong and quit yourselves like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews, as they have been to you. Quit yourselves like men and fight." Verse 10, "And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten, and they fled every man unto his tent. And there was a very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. And the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. And there ran a man of Benjamin out of the army, and came to Shiloh and in the same day with his clothes rent, and with earth upon his head. And when he came, lo, Eli sat upon a seat by the wayside, watching, for his heart trembled for the ark of God. And when the man came into the city and told it, all the city cried out. And when Eli heard the noise of the crying, he said, "What meaneth the noise of this tumult?" And the man came in hastily and told Eli. Now Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were dim, that he could not see. And the man said unto Eli, "I am he that came out of the army, and I fled today out of the army." And he said, "What is there done, my son?" And the messenger answered and said, "Israel is fled before the Philistines, and there hath been also a great slaughter among the people, and thy two sons also, Ophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God is taken." And when it came to pass, when he made mention of the ark of God, that he fell from off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck broke, and he died, for he was an old man and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. And his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child, near to be delivered. And when she heard the tidings that the ark of God was taken, and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and travailed, for her pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the women that stood by her said unto her, "Fear not, for thou hast borne a son." But she answered not, neither did she regard it. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, "The glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband." And she said, "The glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken." So here we find that Israel goes into battle with the Philistines. They have known that God stands with them. They have known that God fights for them. But this day, things turn out very differently. They are smitten before their enemies. And that is when they discover there is no way we can be beaten by our enemies if God is in our midst. If God is surrounding us, then there is no way the enemy is going to kick us and put us to flight. So Israel decides, let us go back to Shiloh, get the ark of God that we left there, bring it into battle with us so that God is with us in battle. So they actually went, brought the ark. When the Philistines saw the ark, when they heard the shouting that accompanied the ark, because the children of Israel were shouting with joy, they were very terrified. Why were they terrified? I'm sure the minds of the Philistines ran back to that time when they heard about Yahweh. And that is why they would cry, "God is come into the camp. Woe unto us." They had never seen such a thing before in the history of the entire world, that God would fight for his children or God would fight for a particular people. Now they had seen it with Israel. According to the Philistines, trying to fight Israel was equivalent to fighting God. And who could dare stand against God? Who in his right mind would fight against God who had ripped the armies of Pharaoh into pieces? A strong army that was renowned in the entire world. God had used feeble hands to totally defeat it, because his hand was mighty in this battle. But the Philistines did not realize one thing on that day of the battle when they heard the noise from the camp of the children of Israel. They did not realize that God had actually departed from his children because of sin. Israel was only going through the motions. They were acting out God's presence by bringing that ark into the camp. You see, the ark was only a symbol of God's presence. But if you are to take the God of the ark out of that ark, then that ark was reduced to nothing but a beautiful piece of art. And for that day, that was all that it was. So when the battle picked up, to the joy of the Philistines and to the dismay of Israelites, Israel was smitten. Every man, the Bible records, that ran to his tent, and the Philistines had a very big slaughter. 30,000 footmen fell by the sword on that particular day. Sad, they did not just die, those men in battle, but the ark of God was taken. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were also killed on the same day. So back in the camp, back in Shiloh, where the ark of the Lord dwelt, the man of God was still waiting, hoping that there would be victory. But that is when a man ran and told him of the sad news, that his two sons had been killed in battle, and above and beyond that, that the ark of God had been taken. Even Eli's daughter-in-law, who was with child, could not stand that. On hearing that her husband was dead, her brother-in-law was dead, her father-in-law was dead, and the ark of God was taken, she quickly declared and knew there was bad trouble. She declared, "It is Ichabod. The glory is departed because the ark of God has been taken." It is no wonder she decided to name that child Ichabod, something that would remind the children of Israel for ages to come, that you are only a people, you belong, you have honor, you have respect when God is in the camp. It was a name to remind Israel for ages to come that anytime God does not have his rightful place, when God departs from the camp, anytime God withdraws his abiding presence from his people, then there is trouble. There are struggles. There are wars that cannot be fought and won. Ichabod, the glory of God departs. You know, when the glory of God departs from a life, from an individual, from a society, from a nation, from a family, life comes to a standstill. Your wheels may be churning. You may be going through the motions as usual, trying to do what you have always done. You may try the tactics and the techniques you have used to bring you success, but there will be no success this time. There will be no fruitfulness. When God's power is taken away, man becomes very unproductive. Why? It is because it is God who gives meaning. It is God who gives purpose. It is God who gives you the accuracy and even the precision to do what you need to do every single day. It is God who gives you victory. It is He who gives success. It is Him who will give you the meaningfulness in life. There is nothing much you're going to accomplish without God's hand and God's presence in your life. Every toil comes to unfruitful yields and productions when God withdraws His presence. Without God's presence in life, it is like you embarking on a job where you want to cut a tree. You take your axe and you begin to cut it, maybe to cut the stump, only for you to realize that you actually don't have the axe head. You know, you may have the best skills, you may have the best knowledge, but all day long you're going to labor and nothing much is going to be accomplished. That tree is not going to find itself on the ground. It's also likened to you deciding, okay, this time I'm not going to use my axe head. I'm going to pull down this tree, or I'm going to cut down this tree, but instead I'm going to use an electric saw. So you put the saw blade right onto the tree, ready to cut it, but you discover that you don't have your saw plugged into a power source. Again, it doesn't matter your intentions. They are very good. It doesn't matter your skills. It doesn't matter how well organized you can be or you are. The results will not show any of that, because there is no power. You will swing, you will move in the motions of life, but nothing is going to happen. You know, when you step back, you will realize that we are living in very difficult times in the history of the world. I would like you to recognize and understand the times in which we are living. You look at people, you look at families, you look at homes, and you'll appreciate the true fact that all these areas are plagued with a lot of trouble and a lot of difficulties on every side. Even nations are in a lot of disarray. You look around, those you expect to be happy, those you expect to be very content, are exceptionally miserable. In fact, to the utter shock and disarray and dismay of many people, even the reputable people, reputable men and women of society, those who are held in high esteem, those whom you expect to have their acts together, you look at them and you discover they don't have their acts together. Their private lives are going to betray their public performances. The majority lack integrity. We don't have many sound morals around us. We lack clear judgment. You look for wisdom, you look for discretion, you look for discernment, and you find that it is all those things are lacking. Why? We can track this in our own lives, in our own homes, in our own societies, in our own nations, back to what happened in 1 Samuel chapter 4. Ichabod, the glory is departed. When God withdraws his presence, we are left empty. When God withdraws his cloudy cover around us, when he withdraws his pillar of fire from us, then we are left exposed to the tricks, to the harassment, and to the fights of the enemy. We are left vulnerable. We are left very weak. We are left to the mercy of our enemy. This is where Israel found herself. But you don't have to stay there. I would like to ask you two or three questions in this session. Where is God in your life? Is God's presence evident in your life? Or are you living without the voice of God? Is your life characterized by struggles, many mistakes, a lot of spiritual blindness, and you find that you lack direction most of the time? God does not want you to continue this way. God does not want your family to continue in this same direction. And God does not want the nation to live without his cover, without his presence. God wants to dwell with you. God wants to guide you. He wants to protect you. He wants to provide for you. Will you make a move today towards God? Will you recognize the helplessness? Will you recognize the fighting of the enemy in your own house? Will you recognize the turmoil that the enemy has subjected you to and make a move towards God? God's presence is everything. As you reflect on these questions, I would like us to pray together. Father, we are grateful. It is true that it's you who gives meaning to each one of us. It is you who brings deep joy. It is you who gives success. And Father, it is you who protects your children from the snares of the enemy. Father, when you are in your rightful place, then we can go through life happy. We can go through life secure. We can go through life with confidence because we know that your cover is round about us. Lord, that is not where we are as individuals. That is not where we are as homes, as families, as societies, even as nations today. Will you be merciful to us today? Open our eyes to what is eating us on the inside. Lord, draw us back to yourself. Help us see when we dropped the ball. Help us realize when you departed from our lives. Open our eyes to see what was happening at that time. And Lord, as you draw us and woo us unto yourself this day, may you give us the willingness and the boldness to step out and say, "It is me, Lord, you're speaking to." Lord, give us the boldness to say, "It is me, it is my home that needs your presence again. It is my church that needs your presence again. It is my nation that needs your presence again." So speak to your people. Minister to your people. Open the eyes of your people that we may see you again. Lord, may you tenderize our hearts toward you. Draw us to yourself. Reveal yourself to us. Bring healing in our lives. Bring healing in our homes again. Bring healing in our families again. Lord, we would like you to shine your face on us again. May you bring that cloudy pillar and that cloudy fire back on us, back on our homes, back on our families. Help us that the glory of God shall come and reign with us again. Thank you, for we have prayed this in Jesus' name.
Thank you for tuning into Healing for Your Heart. You can contact Amelia Kenya through her website, ameliakenya.com. That's AMILIAHKENYA.com. There, you will also find spiritual resources through her following books: Prayer and Spiritual Warfare, Spiritual Victory for the 21st Century, Back to God for Healing, The Power of a Woman, and God's Presence, The Missing Something.